truth, unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore.
Principle. He is the beginning. Here it clearly shows the Lord was there laying the foundations, but it also shows at the end he will roll it up like a scroll, like a garment. At the end, when Satan is finally defeated, we know after the millennial reign for 1,000 years, where Jesus will come to rule and reign with the saints, Satan is then released for a season, and then fire comes to consume. And it will be like God will roll up the world, the heavens, all that we see. He will roll it up like a scroll, and he will create anew. When the new heavens and the earth, when the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven. Here again is the idea, he's the source, he's the principle. He has it all completely under control. So when we come back then to the idea of Ephesians chapter 6, which we're looking at in verse 12, we're dealing then with the origin of Satan, principality. Now we know, very briefly, that he was the nearest cherub to God. He was in charge of worship. He was the closest out of all the created beings to the throne of God. And we know that he usurped his authority. He thought he could be God. And a third of the angels also believed that. They actually thought he could take over. And as a result, he was cast out of the heavens, out of the presence of God. And a third of the angels fell with him. So we're dealing here with this idea of this word principality. We're dealing with Satan. We're dealing with his high forces. We know in the realm of Satan, there are different orders. They're all under the authority of Satan himself. It is highly trained. It is highly organized. They are totally obedient to Satan. So here is the idea of principality, the origin. We're dealing now with the powers of darkness. I've already shown you this word, what it means with God, what it means with rulers, governments and so forth. The origin, that is the idea of this word. Now, we have this authority in Christ. I want to go back to this. I've already shown you in Romans 8 that nothing separates us from the love of God. Whether it's dominion, power, principality, whatever it is, nothing will separate you from God's love, not even Satan, the principality. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And there is the principle. God has enabled the church to be able to come boldly before the throne of God, before the mercy seat. Notice the word boldly, confidently, for our spiritual warfare. He has given us access through his name in order to be able to war against these powers, principalities, dominions. Let's make no hesitation about this. This is what he has given us. And therefore, it is up to us to be able to take on these powers, principalities, that the church is to do through the mighty name of Jesus. God is expecting the church to rise up as she's making herself ready in these last days for the final battle that is to take place, because it's going to be. We know what is going on out in that world. We know what is rapidly moving, this spiritual paralysis that is moving over the face of the earth. We cannot be in denial. We cannot pretend, we cannot turn our back on all of this that is happening. But it is a means of us rising up, being stirred. It is the trumpet call that is going forth now, that we are being prepared for the final onslaught, the final battle against the powers and principalities of this age. And yet we find so much of the church is completely hid, is completely asleep, is in denial, doesn't want to believe that this is happening. But God has a remnant who are awake. God has a remnant around the world who are now walking by faith, who love the word of God. It is their spiritual food. Who are hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church now in these last days. And God is going to watch carefully how we are partaking of these teachings. Because are we going to be a hearer or a doer of the word? That is the question. So God, who created all, is in control of all. So why principality? It's Satan. And Satan has tried to assert man's dominion. He clearly wants to be God of this world and above what you look at, the universe, the stars, the galaxies. He wants to take control of all of that. But I've got good news for you. There's a psalm that shows us that he won't do this. He can't succeed. And I think many of you will have never thought of what this psalm is really actually about. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 8. To Psalm 8. Now this psalm speaks of what God has given to his Son, Jesus Christ. And here it is in Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Who are those babes? Who are those infants? It's you and I. You have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy of the avenger. Who is the avenger? Satan himself. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. He's speaking now about the earth, what he's created. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep, oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish, the sea, that pass through the paths of the seas. What did God give dominion to Adam? He said, name that which I've created. Adam named it because God had given him dominion. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. It was made for us. It was made for the church. It is all ours in Christ Jesus, and that is why Satan cannot take this earth. And he is going to try again in this last dispensation, but he's going to fail. This is why we need the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit. This is an encouragement to us that although, yes, we're being prepared for this final battle, he cannot have dominion. And brothers and sisters, we are the only people on this earth who have already won the battle before we even move forward. Before you even pray or intercede or get in warfare, you have already won the battle in Christ Jesus. And that is where our standing must be. And if you are fearful, doubtful, then you can't see this. And this is why God is delivering us of fear. Satan's number one problem. Satan fears God. Because he is a fallen being and he wants to oppress you. He wants to oppress the church with that fear. But there is no fear in the perfect love of God. We've already read it to you back in Romans 8:38. So we are a people in Christ who have already won the battle even before we have got in prayer or intercession or fastings or whatever it is. It's already achieved. It's already done in the realm of God. You and I simply move by faith to appropriate all that has been complete and finished in Christ Jesus. Amen to that. So now we begin to see where our standing is in all of this. So this power, this principality was given to man. It was never given to Satan. And that is why he came tempting Adam, Eve, twisting the word of God. And when they fell, they gave over temporarily that dominion that God had given them over to the powers of darkness, to Satan. But God could not leave it like that, because that's not what he decreed. And that is why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift that God has ever given to human beings, to restore, to bring it back, his dominion that he has now in Christ Jesus. That is why Christ in you is the hope of glory. He is your dominion. He is your armor. Everything that we talk about goes back to the origin, and the origin is Jesus Christ in you. That is why he wants obedience from us. That is why he wants us to believe, to yield. We cannot do this in ourselves, but we do it as the Holy Spirit leads and guides us. Because he is the one who can raise and set a standard, a banner against the enemy. In other words, what it refers to in many ways is this land is sold, it is taken. You are trespassing, Satan. That is what it means. It means that we are claiming the land back. This is what God was teaching the children of Israel. They were to go into Canaan and they were to take the land, weren't they? And of course we know that the two spies went forward. They went and had a look, and there they saw. But they also saw the giants amongst the Canaanites. And they said that we look like grasshoppers against these great warriors. And of course, when they came back, they gave this report, and the next thing we know is fear manifested amongst the people. And they started to complain. They started to confess that fear that is within them. But Joshua and Caleb were of a different spirit, a different heart. And that is what God is looking for in these last days. Yes, there are giants out there. Yes, it does look as though the enemy is winning, has got the upper hand. But we know what spirit we are of, because we are of God's spirit. We are born again. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We don't think or act like the world. We don't speak like the world. We speak out the promises of God's word, because we know that we're wrestling not with flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Satan's out to try and destroy your confession. He's trying to get you to confess and believe like the world and act like the world. But I've got good news for you. The Lord Jesus has gone before. He has paid the price. He has turned your life around, inside out, upside down. That is what he's done. And so, Christ has set all of this in motion to now give back to man what he gave over to Satan, because it has to be accomplished. Before the Lord Jesus Christ returns and puts down the Antichrist, Satan himself, the church has to come back to her dominion. Experientially, I'm talking about. Israel failed her dominion through unbelief. But do we think that it's all just, well, finished or whatever it is? No. It has to be accomplished, finished through the body of Christ. She has to prepare for the last final onslaught. Why am I saying this? Because Satan is out to destroy the body of Christ. We know this from the book of Revelation. He is out to destroy Israel. because of covenant. We know this. History shows us. Most of us know the history of the last war. Hitler tried to destroy the restoration of Israel by putting over 6 million Jews into the gas chambers. These are powers, principalities at force. And they use human beings. And we are going to see again a rising up with the Antichrist who will try to destroy the body of Christ. But he won't. Revelation 12 shows us clearly. It will look as though he's almost succeeded. It will look as though he has put to death most who confess Christ as their Lord and Saviour, who will not bow down to the image and take the mark of the beast. It will almost look as though he succeeded, but the blood of the saints, the blood of God's ancient people, Israel, will bring back Messiah, whose feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives. It will be the shedding of blood coming up to the throne of grace that will bring Messiah. And he will come with all his saints to put down the enemy, the principality, Satan himself. That is what we're heading toward. And we need to be awake for this. We need to be the wise virgins, getting that extra oil, that oil of anointing that comes through the word, prayer, meetings, getting under the unction, the anointing, so that we are ready, that we are being equipped through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are living in real times. I believe one of our greatest enemies we are seeing coming forth now is, without doubt, artificial intelligence. Why do I say this? I have no absolute clear proof at this stage, but this is given for prayer, because we are to discern all things, and some of our discernment is simply waiting for God to reveal. But I believe that we are seeing artificial intelligence coming forth that Satan is going to use to try to control the earth. Remember, I said in Psalm 8 that dominion was given through Jesus Christ to us for the church. We are to have that dominion. Man is to have that dominion. But Satan's coming forth with great powers now, and I believe that AI is very instrumental in bringing this satanic dominion on the earth. There are strong spiritual powers, evils, that are behind all of this. Man is slowly becoming redundant. We're already hearing about this. What is he going to do in the future? Jesus said that we, in the last days, it will be like the times of Noah, the times of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God saw, didn't he, in Genesis 6, that he saw evil on the face of the earth, and he was sorry that he ever made man. We're also told, weren't we, that there were giants, warriors on the earth, defiling the earth. I believe we're seeing an emergence of this coming again in these last days. We're seeing these great powers, these giants of technology, coming forth again in the last days to control and take over. I am not saying that that is a thus saith the Lord, but I'm saying it's for consideration, it's for prayer, and we can't turn our face, our hearts away from this. It's very real. Well, as I bring this to a close for this week, we see that all of this is given to the church. How do I know this? Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Verses 15 to 23 of Ephesians chapter 1. Therefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, when he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of, when he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The world isn't going to do this, brothers and sisters. It is the church that is restoring this dominion that God gave through Adam and Eve, that they gave over to the powers of darkness, to Satan. It is being restored. And this is why I am so strong on this. We are in the times of restoration. We are being restored. We are being brought back from where the church has been through the dark ages, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, fragmented, all these denominations, all this confusion. We're being restored, we're being delivered, we are being brought back from under the banner, the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who will win this victory. It will never be won under a pope, under a cardinal, under an elder, under a denomination. It will never be won under that. It can only be won under the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we are restored back to. He is our covering. I am covered by the blood of the Lamb. He is my elder. He is my teacher. We do not need flesh and blood. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet so many in Christendom run to the arm of the flesh. Any advice they want, they run to their elders. We don't do that anymore. There's only one we run to, and he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so these powers that we wrestle with, it's interesting that as we're going to look at this next time, we're going to see that they have different ranks, different positions, different levels. But their goal is to knock you down from the place of your standing in Christ Jesus. That is what I said at the beginning of these teachings. These soldiers, we're being trained as soldiers to stand. Not to be knocked down, because if you're knocked down, you are a victim. You can be destroyed. But we stand not in our strength, but we stand in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has triumphed, who has overcome, who stands forever and ever. That is our standing, our position. And when you stand in him, that is where you defeat the enemy. This battle, this final battle, will be won with those in the body of Christ who stand firm in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Who don't retract, who don't go back, they stand their position. That's how it will be won. That is how the dominion will be finally restored and given back to the body of Christ. We have an analogy of this, don't we? Through Goliath, blaspheming the armies of God, Israel. And all Israel was in fear, kept going back. They couldn't destroy the last of these giants. But there was one who did, his name David. And you know the story. And you know how it was achieved. Because he was a young man being trained out in the wilderness with just a few sheep. He wasn't with the rest of the crowd. He wasn't with the rest of his brothers half the time. He was out on his own. He was learning whom his covering was. He was learning who he stood in. Almighty God. And that's what God is doing with you and I. This is why it looks so ridiculous. This is why your life isn't like the life of the world out there and how they live and act. This is why God sadly has even separated us from professing believers, brothers and sisters who confess the Lord Jesus Christ, yet we find we can't really fellowship with them. Do you know why? Because there's fear in their life. They compromise. They twist the word of God. And we find after a time, I can't be with these people. I'm not going to grow in this environment. I'm not going to grow up into sonship. They don't want to grow up. They still want to be babies. And they're a target. That's why your life is like it is. It's not that we hate them. We pray for them that they will make it into the kingdom of God. But we're on a journey. We're on a destiny. We have a calling. We have that vision for the last days. I know what my Father is about, what he's doing. I'm about my Father's business. Jesus said exactly the same. Why? Because we are facing the final conflict in this last dispensation. That's why. And look what he reveals there. He says that our eyes will be open, that we will understand, that we will see the riches of his glory, our inheritance that we have in him as saints. There it all is. That's what we should be praying for one another, as Paul was praying there. Also, look in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church. I believe the wisdom of God is being made known to us now, this day in this meeting, that we can start to understand these principalities, powers that are in heavenly places that we have dominion over. That is what God wants us to know. And not only to know, but to know it experientially. as we rise up with that armour that we're going to look at next time. Satan is the principal power of this earth. He is the being of the world of darkness. And God starts there because we use the blood and the name of Jesus to bring down these powers, these dominions. They cannot stand against the blood of the Lamb and against the name of Jesus. And that is why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and love not our lives even unto death. You overcome as an overcomer by the blood of Jesus. Why the blood of Jesus? Because when you refer to the powers of darkness with the blood of Jesus, you are referring to the life that is in the blood. And it is God's life. The same as the life is in you in the blood, so the life that is in the blood of the Lamb is the life of Jesus Christ, who has overcome the powers of darkness. There is no more death, for he has destroyed the power of death. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. Stand fast in the power of his might. And Lord willing, we will continue with this teaching next Sunday. There is still much more that I want to bring out of this, because we are to start to move experientially into this. The enemy does not like this. He knows what is going on. He is very aware that the Lord is moving the church now forward. We have come to that place where we're ready now to start our next stage of warfare. He knows this. But do not be afraid. Don't be fearful. Don't listen to his lies, because you do not stand in your own self, in your own strength or intellect. You stand with this armour in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Heavenly Father, my prayer for my brothers and sisters is, Lord, that their eyes may be opened. That, Father, that they will see that hope, that calling that they have, that inheritance as saints that they have in Christ Jesus. That, Lord, they may see your great power towards them, your mighty power, that power that works, Father, in Christ Jesus. That very power that raised you from the dead is the very power that resides and lives in us and teaches us and guides us. And that, Father, we are spiritually with you, far above all principality, power, and might and dominion. That the church is seated with you in heavenly places, way, way above all of that. And that as you have put all things under your feet, that they have been put under your feet, so we may also know those things that are placed under our feet. Because you are head over all these things. You are head over the church. You are head over us. And we are your body. And we share of your fullness. Your fullness is manifested in and through each one of us, in our fellowship, our unity, our oneness. And so, Lord, I pray that all those who have heard this today will enter into this experience. Because it's not by might nor by power, it is by your Spirit, says the Lord. Call unto me.
Thank you. Thank you.